I never say this, but I'm going to say it tonight. I'm in the mood for preaching, so I hope you're not in a hurry. I'm always like a time Nazi. Guys, I really, what Conrad said in the beginning, when I came here tonight, when I came into church, I saw Audrey busy getting the PowerPoint ready, Ilana and them preparing for the worship, and the intercession was already on, Johannes and the guys were praying, and as I entered there, I looked through the window, and I just felt God just impress on me. I just thought, it's so beautiful. These people just serving in God's house, and God just says, what you said, you are beautiful. He's so happy, he's so pleased. And all of them were here this morning as well. They knew they were going to hear me again, but it's not about me, and it's about just serving in God's house. And God just says, he's happy, he's pleased with your service, he's pleased with the way you just selflessly give of yourself. And yes, some of you didn't serve tonight, but you serve other nights. And so please take that word for you, Valalam, you guys. God is pleased with his servants. He's pleased with how you come to him. And just on a Sunday night, on an off weekend, you're here. Okay. Before I start, I want to tell you a little story about a guy. I just quoted him this morning, but for some reason, I want to tell you his story. I'm a homeschooling mom, so I get to read a lot of missionary stories to my children. I love it because I'm still busy with this book, but I finished it a long time ago, like till 12 o'clock at night. Simone is still saying, when is he going to get saved, Mom? It's a story of George Miller. I don't know if who have you heard of him. There's lots of books about his life, but one of the books is titled Robber of the Cruel Streets. He grew up in a European country. He was a very bad guy. I'm not going to go into details. Go read the book. His father got him into seminary. He studied to become a Lutheran priest. Was not saved. But so things go, you know, sometimes. And he came to salvation. I can't remember how. Eventually came to salvation. And he started reading the Bible, and he just decided, knew he should become a missionary. And how he eventually ended up in England and had the desire to go into the ends of the earth to become a missionary. And God made it very clear to him that he's to start orphan houses. Because at that stage in England in the 1800s, there were there was cholera outbreaks, lots of parents dead, lots of kids on the street. And they ended up in poor houses. There was no such thing as human rights back then. Children and poor people didn't have rights. And he eventually, through his life, he built houses for orphans that could house 2,000 kids at a time. Thousands and thousands of children came to salvation, came to get an education that he raised. He didn't have any money. When he became a priest in the church, and the first thing he did was to abolish pew rent. You had to rent a pew. That's what they did. It was a custom in the church. The rich people paid for the front pews, and the poor people had to sit at the back because they couldn't pay as much. And that was what made up the salary of a lot of the pastors and dominies and things at that stage. So he said, I'll be your pastor, but no income. I don't want income. God will look after me. And the same with his orphanages. He never earned money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars went through his hands, but he never owned a cent. And he said, and I loved your offering. He said, money is just worth that which it can do for the kingdom of God. That's all it's worth. What can it do for God's kingdom? That's what money's worth. And he, the first girl that he liked, she was also a Christian. And when he told her that he wanted to become a missionary, she said, I could never marry a missionary. He was really disappointed because he thought all Christians would want to live what the Bible says. The next girl he came across, I don't know why I'm telling someone this story, but she was much older than he. And shared his vision, but she wasn't necessarily very pretty. The book says she had the biggest nose that he saw on any human being. And he didn't want to marry because he thought it was going to keep him away from God's call. It was going to keep him back. He wasn't going to be able to run. And she assured him that if you marry the right person, marriage is something that will take you further into God's kingdom. And she was right. He married her, and then when they got to the house, she came with lots of bags and stuff, and he looked at it, and she said, you didn't think my family was poor, did you? And he was away on a preaching trip and came back, and the whole house was neatly set up with tapestries and lots of things, beautiful things that she inherited. And she was so pleased with how well she arranged the house for them. And he just sat down and said, this is just stuff that's going to keep us back. If we need to go tomorrow, then we'll have to pack up all this stuff. He was very disappointed. He said he sees that in everybody's houses, but they don't live the word. And the word says we cannot have all these. That was his conviction. And his wife said, if you can trust God, I can. She sold everything, and with him, she built all those orphanages. So maybe someone needs to hear that tonight, that it may not be the girl that you have your eye on, but the one that God has for you is going to take you further into his kingdom. Trust him for that. Okay. So I want you to quickly talk to one another, back to the sermon, the story at hand, to turn to one another and tell each other, what do you desire more than anything else? You're not allowed to say a cup of coffee. You've had that. And when you read the Bible, when you read or study or read the Bible, what is your experience when reading it? Just what does it do for you? Can you quickly do that? Talk to someone next to you. What is your biggest desire at the moment? Just be honest, please. God knows your heart. Have all had a turn to share? Okay. Looks like some of you started discussing the rugby there. Okay. You know that we're busy with a series on Fivefold Ministry. We've had Andre, who was really blessed, and then we've had Bernie, and tonight it's my turn to talk about the teaching flow. For me, obviously, I'm very excited about the teaching flow because I'm a teacher. Some of you will have heard me in Bible school or will still encounter me in Bible school this year. I'm very excited. But I believe, and I think you might agree, that the teaching flow or the role of a teacher stands quite, or what it's supposed to do in a church, stands central in the fivefold ministry, because you cannot be an apostle and not know the word. You cannot be a good evangelist and not know the word. You cannot be a good pastor and not know the word. And the teaching flow is all about the word, consuming the word until it consumes you. And tonight, I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard before, but I want you to trust with me. Trust with me that the Holy Spirit is going to come and ignite something inside of you that's bigger than what you've already have. Because I know we all love the word. We all want more of it. But we need the Holy Spirit to propel us to the next step, to take us deeper. And yes, so I want you to, the Bible says, if you receive from a prophet, you're going to get a prophet's reward. So receive from God tonight so that he can give you your reward and he can put that thing inside of you, the fire. Okay, Lord, we want to thank you that we can be together. Lord, thank you that we can talk about the basics of your word, the basics of a love for your word. And we want to trust you together tonight, Lord, that you will visit us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and that you will come, Lord God, and burn us. Burn us with the word, Lord God. Come and burn us in our hearts with your spirit, Lord, with that fire that quenches evil, that fire that rises up, Lord God, and propels us towards holiness, that fire that makes us run away from futile things, that fire that takes us deeper into the knowledge of Christ, deeper into your presence, Lord. We desire the fire of the Holy Spirit. We desire your voice, Lord God. We desire the passion that you bring for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I'm quickly going to go through the who, what, why, when, how, that thingy, that, okay. Who and what should we learn and teach? Audrey? Oh, he's getting there. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Basically, these teachers is given as a gift to the church so that everybody in the church can teach. It's not just some of us. My heart's desire is to see everyone in my small group teach somewhere, because we can all do it. And most of you are going to become parents one day. You're going to then have an active role teaching every day. We might as well start practicing on each other. Okay. It's easy on each other because we're all saved. When you have children, they're not saved initially. Okay. You have to teach them and get them there. Okay. So in the beginning, in the book of Acts, the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, all of them. And then in 2 Timothy it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So God desires us to correctly handle the word of truth, to know what it says, to know what it means. When somebody asks us about it, to be able to give them an answer. That's God's desire for us. I believe it's our desire as well. Okay, the apostles' teaching, what was that? It's very simple. It was the gospel. They didn't have the New Testament then. It was just the apostles who dwelt with Jesus. They knew the Old Testament, and they explained to the Jews and to the whoever else would listen from the Old Testament scriptures why Jesus is the Messiah and he's God and why he should be worshipped as God. So that the apostles' teaching is basically just the gospel. Jesus taught a lot. If you read the Gospels, he teaches from the Word, from the Old Testament. He quotes so many scriptures from the Old Testament. That was Jesus' word, the Old Testament. And we read in the Psalms, I think it's the next one, Psalm 100. Oh, that's just wrong. It's Psalm 119. Maybe it's to test you all. It's to test you. Testing me. Psalm 119. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I don't know if that translation and this one is the same, but I'm going to read from here. It is my meditation all the day. Yes, through your commandments, you make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Your commandments, not my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, when David says that, he didn't even have the prophets or the New Testament. He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numeri. He's got those books. The ones that you don't read because it's boring. That's what he's singing about. The whole of Psalms, he just goes on about the word. And we quote and say, the word is awesome. But we think about the New Testament and some of the Old Testament scripture. But David is talking just about that little bit in the beginning. And that's enough. I'm not saying only read that. I'm just saying that all of Scripture is inspired. All of Scripture will take us closer to Christ. Okay. And all of us should read all of Scripture. Okay. Why is it important for us to learn the Word and to teach it? First of all, that's why I asked you in the beginning, what is your greatest desire at the moment? It would be interesting to know all of your desires. But yes, our greatest desire should be, if it's not, we can repent afterwards and ask God to change our hearts. Please do. Should be to know Christ and his resurrection, to know him better, to see him. This morning I told him once, it happened twice. Because after it happened once, you know, if I've never done drugs, but they tell me. That if you do drugs, it's so amazing. You want it again and again and again, that feeling. Now, this is the same that I'm telling you. So I was worshiping and I saw Christ. I saw a picture of it, a vision of Jesus. He revealed himself to me in a very real way. And when I saw him, I just started repenting of everything I knew that was wrong in my life. And I just didn't have an issue with other people anymore. I didn't have an issue with who else I thought was responsible for my unhappiness. I just saw Christ and I wanted to be close to him. And I knew that I immediately knew what was wrong with me. And I just needed to let it go so I could be close to him. And that should be our desire. And ever since I've experienced that once, I'm chasing after that. In worship, when I read the Bible, it's, Lord, I want to see you like that again. Because I know that when I see him, and it happened again recently, we were at that ladies' night that we worshipped. We worshipped for long time. You know, when we press in and we press in and we press in and we don't have a time limit, then Jesus honors us. And he came and I had again an experience of seeing Christ, experiencing face to face. And just again, it just washes you. You don't have issues. You have nothing when you've been with Christ. And I believe if we diligently study the word, we're going to have those experiences more and more. Corinne, my friend who interceded with us this morning, she had a vision after church, couldn't share it. We were already leaving. But she said she saw God We take little sips of the word, just little sips. And then it's supposed to be a fountain inside of us. So then it comes out again. But it's just, you know, when you open the taps and it's been dry inside the taps, it goes, you know, just spits a little bit. And if we don't get God to intervene on our behalf, that's going to become a reality soon, taps spitting. But and then we all go, oh, life, wow. But God's desire for us is to have that flow, overflow all the time, that truth, that fountain. But it's because we only take little sips. We need to press in deeper. Okay. To know Christ, in Philippians 3 verse 9, it's not on there. It's I've got extra scriptures for the guys that brought their pens and notebooks. Philippians 3 verse 9 says, what's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. It's a surpassing worth to know Christ. Okay. And Jesus said to the Jews, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set me free. Jesus actually said, you will know me, and I will set you free. Because this is the truth, but it's also Christ. We encounter Christ in here. Because a lot of people read the word, but it doesn't set them free because they don't apply it and they don't know Christ intimately. I mean, we know generations of Christians who knows the word, but they don't live it, and it's not alive and powerful. So this David story. So this week I was pondering the fact that David was lyrical, hysterical, happy about the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible. So I just paged through Leviticus a little bit because that sounded like the most boring one. So, and it was really interesting. And I just picked a chapter, Leviticus 19. It just says various laws. And I prayed and I said, Lord, just show me Christ. Show me Christ. I'm going to read all these laws, but show me Christ. Okay, and I read Leviticus 19. We're not going to read it. Relax. But what the Holy Spirit showed me when I read Leviticus 19 is, first of all, that Christ is holy, that he cares for us in very infinite details. He cares for us. That he has a heart for the poor, and that he has a heart for, wat is gestremde mense in Engels? Disabled, thank you. Because I was like, it's not retarded. What is it? For disabled people. If you read Leviticus 19, you're going to see God's heart for disabled people. It's there. And he cares about his name. He cares about his name. He's very serious about unity. Christ wants us to be one. He wants my heart to be clean before him. He doesn't want me to hold anything in my heart against any of you. He doesn't like it. I get that from Leviticus 19's various laws. Go check it up, okay? And I learned that he's righteous. So the key is, and we're going to get back to it, but the Holy Spirit. Any chapter in the Bible, any part of the Bible is going to show you Christ if you read it with the Holy Spirit as your guide. Okay, that's why we read the word firstly, to discover Christ. Then the second one is to receive grace. The scripture there is one Peter. Please forgive me. It was in Afrikaans this morning. I went home. We were at people's house until 4, and I sat down and I translated everything quickly. So there's mistakes somewhere. Ian Pietres 1 verse 13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that he's coming. Yes, Paul is talking about Christ's second coming, and we are going to set our hearts. When we see him, we're going to receive the grace of salvation. He's going to take us with him. He's going to come fetch us, we'll be saved. But also, Jesus spoke to Peter. That's why Peter writes this with authority. Who do you say I am, Peter? And Peter says, you're Christ, you're the Lord. And then Jesus says, flesh and bone and did not reveal that to you. And Jesus was really excited because the revelation came from God. So if we read the scriptures and we get a revelation, where does it come from? From God, our Father. God the Father who rules and reigns. He spoke to you. He used his word and he gives you a revelation. And when you get a revelation, doctrine won't move you. It's good to know doctrine, but it won't move you. Revelation will move you. Some of you have heard my story. Boyfriends, boyfriends, boyfriends got saved. Boyfriends, boyfriends, boyfriends. And then, but they were all saved then. And then, And I just knew it was wrong. And I just couldn't get over it. I just couldn't. I didn't date them, but I just fell in love with everything and everyone. And then it bothered me, but it was just such a flaw in my character. And then one day I was reading in the very room that I lost my virginity. I was reading Proverbs 31. It's amazing how God works in details. And and I read the scripture that says, the heart of her husband trusts safely in her all the days of his life. I've read that before, but it hit me. I received a revelation that, Esther, your husband's heart cannot trust you all the days of your life, because all the days of your life up to now, you've been a whore. That's the revelation that I got. I have a husband. There's a guy that God has for me that I'm going to serve for the rest of my life. But up to now, I was a prostitute. I was giving my heart to whoever looked saved and cool or whatever. And I read that scripture and the Holy Spirit, God gave me a revelation and boom, everything changed. Never a boyfriend and a thing again until I got married. I didn't even date my husband. It's another story. We got married very quickly. God said, get married. We got married. I'm like, what have I done? What have I done? So you see the power of revelation. And I didn't get the revelation from attending a meeting God must give you two revelations tonight, but I got it from reading the word on my own in my room as I was accustomed to do. Okay, the next one, we receive grace when we see Christ in the scriptures, and then our lives change. And verse 14 of that scripture says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as you who is called holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So how do we become holy? Because we go like, holiness. It's so hard for us because we are so aware of everything we do wrong. But that's the beauty of the word of God. In Jacobus 1 verse 21, it's James. Oh, I see. I've got Jacobus here and James there. Okay. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word saves us. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, and it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, to joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when I desire to become more holy, if I spend more time in the Word, it's going to happen automatically. Because the Word is alive and powerful. It goes inside of us. It creates a desire to do God's will. It creates the ability to do God's will. And if you're in a situation, you don't know whether it's right or wrong, but you're full of the Word, you're going to know. You're going to pray and you're going to know. And that's the beauty of being in God's Word. This George Miller guy, he could speak more than 6 or 7 languages fluently. He studied very many things. And a couple of years, about 4 years after he got saved, he just realized it's a waste to read anything else but the Bible. He never wrote another, read other books from then on. He only read the Bible. When he died, he read it more than 300 times. All the wisdom, all the counsel, everything he needed to do what he did for God, this book, it's all he did. He just read the word. He read it and read it and read it and read it and applied it. So guys, I know, I'm going to use that example later. And I want to tell, I said this morning, but we need to get to a place, Paul desires us and Christ desires us to grow up. Many of us struggle with things and we keep going to someone to pray for us. We keep going to a counselor and that's good. We need that, especially when we're babies. We need to feed people and help people because they can't, my son can't change his nappy himself yet. And by the time he can, he shouldn't be wearing nappies anymore. I've done encounters, but I can sit on my bed. I can know something is wrong with me. You know, when I start screaming at the kids and I start blaming my husband for everything that's wrong, I know there's something wrong with me. Okay, I'm like, this atmosphere here, something is not cool. So I go into my room, if I can. And then I just ask, say, God, I don't know what's up. Please show me. I don't know. But your word says that your word is going to show me. It divides between soul, spirit. It's a discerner of the heart. Because girls, we don't know always what's going on in our hearts. Okay? And don't expect your boyfriends or husbands to know. They don't either. Please, don't ever do that. Okay? My husband has learned through the years. He just says, you need to cry. Just cry. Just cry. But I have discovered that he doesn't know, and that's good. God knows. So I go and I read any chapter. You can read any chapter. I promise you, God is going to show you what's in your heart. It's amazing how the Bible works. You can read something about, I don't know, Christ dealing with the disciples, and then suddenly the answer pops up in your head. It's amazing. It's a mystery. Okay. So try it. Okay. But if you struggle, go see someone. But try. The Spirit and God is enough. The Spirit and the Word is enough. Stay in the Word. Ask the Spirit to help you. Jesus says we don't need many other people. We need Him. And if we struggle to connect with Him, then we ask someone to pray with us. Yes. So I don't want you to stop seeing your accountability partner or whatever, but I just want to encourage you to try and hear from God yourself, because you're going to feel very victorious if you do. Okay, to receive faith, this is the fourth one. We read the word to receive faith, because in Romans 10:13 it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Consequently, then there's a little bit of stuff, and then it says, consequently, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Okay. So the more we read the word, I also find that often we say, but Lord, I don't have enough faith. But the more I read the word, the more faith I have. I don't know how that works either. It's a mystery. Just do it. It's Nike's slogan. Which Christians should really just adopt it. Hopefully they don't sue us. Okay, victory. The fifth one why we read the word is because Jesus says he always leads us in triumph. Victory. Okay, we know we have an enemy, and like what Conrad said, I loved it because it's so true. Conrad, Vodi Buckham preaches an excellent sermon on those three things. He says we're hemmed in on every side. The flesh, the devil, the world, it is really, it looks bad. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Okay, and he's given us a sword. It doesn't look like a sword, and when it lies on the bedside table, it's not going to... I mean, you can throw someone with it. You'll have to throw really hard. But it becomes a sword when it's in here and it's in here. So when we know the Word of God... I told them this morning, I used to carry my Bible with me wherever I went because I had place in my handbag. Now I don't have place in my handbag anymore. So, but it's in here now, most of it, and in here. And then it becomes a sword when we can... The devil lies to us about two things, about who we are and about who God is. So when the lies come in and we are full of the word, we see it. And we can shine the light of the word on the lie and say, no, you don't. That is not true. Simon always says, I'm thinking about Eve now. She should have just said, no, you don't. But Simon always tells me, because he's really upset about what Adam and Eve did, because he always imagines how life would have been before the fall if they didn't sin. And he's like, Mom, I would not have eaten that fruit. And I'm like, but you just disobeyed me just now. Like 300, so many times a day. Then he's like, but I wouldn't have done that. We all have sinned. Okay, and we fall short. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed. Yeah, it's not up there, so it's for the people with their books. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that's now you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We will not be equipped for the work of God if we read Facebook or watch movies or speak to our peers more than we spend time in the Word. This is going to equip you. Nothing else will. Take my word for it. I've tried the other things as well. The word is the only thing that equips us. And the word, it's funny enough, when you pray and ask for wisdom and guidance, the Holy Spirit has never, I don't know, maybe he's done it to you, but he's never quoted somebody's words to me when I come to him for counsel. He always reminds me of scripture. He always reminds me of a scripture. I don't necessarily know where it stands, but I know it's in the Bible. And by the way, I said this morning also, you don't have to, when you pray and you pray scripture, you don't have to say where it stands to make it powerful. You know, where in the Bible it is. If it's in the Bible, it's scripture. But often we don't want to pray something because we don't know exactly where it is. Just have confidence in God's word. Don't worry about where it is. If you want to know, go Google it afterwards or go page in your Bible and find it. Okay. Oh, the word is the answer to everything. I use this as an example this morning. At the beginning of this year, I just asked God, I just want energy. I'm tired all the time. I know you don't have that problem. Maybe some of you do. But I have 3 children, and I'm with them all the time, all the time. And when they go to bed at night, I have to do all the Bible school, kiddies church, Jacques' books, plan the meals. I don't know, there's lots of stuff that women do when you have a house. And I'm tired all the time. And I said, God, I just want energy. Please, I just want energy. I don't have time to go to the gym, but I want energy. So I started looking on Pinterest for diets that's going to give you energy. And I started reading, you know, trying to get a book on how to feel better, all those things that we do. And then I read in the Word, it was an Afrikaans translation, Psalm 19 verse 8, in die Nuwe Lewende vertaling, it reads, die Here se voorskrifte is volkome en dit gee nuwe lewenskrag. That sounded like energy to me. And I'm like, it's here. And then a week later, I read the same thing in the New Testament. So God's like, it's there. And I just stopped pursuing all other avenues of trying to find energy. And now when I'm really tired and maybe once a week, all the kids are like asleep at once. It really happens very rarely. And in the past, I would like to just sleep, just go lie down and just. Now I just go and read a couple of chapters from the Word. And I promise you guys, I don't sleep more. I don't eat much different. I've got energy. It's in here. I don't know what, yeah, it's in there. It's amazing. It's a mystery. And I said this morning as well that maybe you are in a job or you do stuff daily that is really hard. Maybe they throw you in the deep end. Maybe you get to work tomorrow or in your studies that you just like, you can ask Margriet when she studied medicine, how God helped her with math and pharmacology and those things, because some of us can't do it. We need God. Maybe you're in a job that you can do all by yourself. Then you're in the wrong job. We need to always be in a place where we need God. That's good. Okay, so I told them this morning the story. I'm going to tell it again. I used to be an actress. Very, interesting profession. And I had to play a love scene with a much older guy, a good friend of mine at that stage. So I was really nervous, and I didn't know, because you have to rehearse it, and then you have to shoot it twice. They shoot it twice to make sure they have everything covered, that they don't have to come back to that scene. So 3 times. And myself prayed, and I prayed and said, Lord, I really trust you that I don't have to do it so many times, even though that's standard. And I don't know how to do it. I knew my lines, but that's all I knew. So I was just standing in the aisle, just interceding, just praying in the Spirit, because how do you ask God for that? So I just prayed in the Spirit. And before, we were short on time for the day, so the director said, no rehearsing, we're just going to shoot it. Are you guys fine? Yes, we're fine. So we went, we did it. Afterwards, he stopped, first take, he stopped it, and he said, told everybody, this is how you do it. We don't have to do it a second time. We've got it all. So I only had to do it once, and it was good enough. And I really believe it's because I just trusted God with my difficult parts of my job. Okay. He will help you, whatever your job is. Okay. Where and when? Where and when do we preach the word? 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, preach the word. Be prepared in season, in season and out of season. In other ways, always be ready. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. It's interesting that two of the three words has a negative connotation for us. It says correct. In other words, help each other right. No, my friend, what you did, I don't think it's right. Don't you think you should talk about your friends in this way? I don't have very many friends who will do that. My best friends are the ones that correct me. And I'm so thankful for that. And rebuke me. And all the other friends encourage me. So, because we're good at that, encouraging people. Okay. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Do you hear this, guys? Talk about God's word when you're at home. Talk about his words when you're in the car. Talk about it with your children, with your friends. Talk about it. God wants us to have his word in our mouths. It's hard for me, but I'm trying to discipline myself now. We visited people today just to be quiet, because we always listen to see when we can say something. Just to be quiet and wait for an opportunity to just share God's word in a conversation. It's so uplifting. You can go home and God can use that seed. But we need to have the word in our hearts. How? How do we go about it? There's two things. We need the Spirit of God, like I said, because Corinthians tells us that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Remember how Jesus talked to the Sadducees and the Pharisees? They were the church people of the time. He talked to them all the time and he told them, you guys, not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You're evil. But they knew the word. We need the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus in the word. We need the Holy Spirit. So before we read the word, do we pray? Holy Spirit, show me. If your quiet time or your time in the word is just confusing times, dry, you don't get it. It's time that you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to illuminate the scriptures. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you get a special book that tells you what the scripture means. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need a special book to tell us what this book means. We have the Holy Spirit. And then we have the gift of teachers to help us. Okay. The Holy Spirit. Okay, the next one. Be doers of the word. So we need the Holy Spirit to show us. And then we need to apply what we read. Because the word says, if we only listen to the word and we do not do it, we are deceived. That's what the word says. You are deceived if you read the Bible and you don't do what it says. Okay? A.W. Tozer said, the driver on the highway is safe not when he reads the signs, but when he obeys them. That's true, hey? I love this song. I'm not going to sing it, though. I don't know. You may not know who Rich Mullins is. He died a long time ago, but he wrote a song. Faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. It just ain't happening. Go Google or YouTube the song. It's a very vibey song. And that's always stuck in my head. Faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. It's not going to happen. Okay. So, you read and you do. You read and you do. So, I want to ask you tonight, what's the last thing that you read that you felt convicted about, that you read? You don't even need to feel convicted about it. If it says so in the Bible, you must just do it. I think we all wait for, you know, we read everything and like, ooh, I feel this thing. I must do this thing, this one thing. I'm not going to do that thing. Not when God shows me, I will do that thing. No, we're supposed to do everything that the word says. Can you imagine how our communities are going to look if all of us start to do this every day? Can you imagine it? Imagine how my house will look. I just start doing one of it every day. But thanks be to God, he always leads us in triumph. And Joyce Meyer always says, I love it. She says, thank God I am not where I used to be. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. So we are going. Okay. And then the last thing that I just want to talk quickly about that I really feel convicted about and I want to share with you about is just God has been speaking to me about us returning to the hidden place, the hidden life, the power of a hidden life. Because in this society, we are so publicized. You know, everything is on Facebook. Everything you do is out there on WhatsApp. We tell people everything all the time. Have you tried to not tell people anything for a day, a week? And just you and God? I mean, years ago, you had a diary that you wrote in a journal, and you were offended if anybody read what you wrote. Today, if you woke up and you put your stuff out there and you're offended if somebody doesn't like you, like it. Isn't that so true? I'm sorry, guys, that's the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be this mysterious, wonderful people that dwells in a hidden place. And when we come from that hidden place, we shine like stars. Because we got the fountain of life in that hidden place. Jesus says, go read it in Matthew 6. Jesus said, go to the quiet place, the hidden place. For some of us, it's difficult. You share a house with how many people? With little people. You know, when I shower, I have an audience. Ons wil ook stort. They just had a bath. They also want a shower. And if you close the door, they hammer on the door. There's this one missionary's wife. I read about her. She used to shed, I think, 13 or 14 kids. She had lots of children. But she had a thing with the kids. When she threw the faduk over her head, what do you call a faduk? An apron or something. She threw it over her head. They didn't bother her because then she was talking to God. That was a secret place. And we need that secret place. When I worked at the acting, because you shared a dressing room with very many ungodly people, my car was my secret place. In lunchtime, I would go to my car. I used to go early in the morning before anybody was there. I went to Franz Marx's office, and I would sit under his desk and have quiet time. Now, listen to what I did. I'm a prophet. Then, God, I prayed for the place lots of times. And then God would give me scriptures. And then I would go on my tummy and I would write the scriptures like there where the floor and the floor and the wall comes together in pencil. I would write the scriptures there on the wall. But it was mostly scriptures of repentance and destruction if you don't repent. No, really, really. And Igoli went, I left just before they closed the doors. They wouldn't repent. But that was my secret place. So I don't care where you work. My secret place was under the boss's desk early in the morning before he came there. God will give you a secret place. Ask him where you can go and you can spend time with him. Okay. For some of you, it's while you're jogging. Just listen to the word and not nonsense. Okay. Secret place. I think I'm through everything. The hidden life. Okay, I just want to end with a quote from George Miller. I really want to encourage you to, if you have to read other books, read the stories about the missionaries that went before us. I mean, I really think I have problems. Then I read a story about a missionary and their life. And then I'm like, God, I repent. Help me to serve you. Help me to lay down my silly desires and to just pursue you. There were thousands and thousands of men and women who pursued God with everything they had, and we can read their stories. Because we read kind of interesting articles on the internet all the time, but there's 2,000 years of people who served God without the internet. Their stories are out there, and it will greatly encourage you. If you now get tired of the Bible, go, you know, read a missionary story and come back. George Miller said, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day, this is now the guy that did great things for God, the most important thing was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord. It was not how I might glorify the Lord. but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. But in what way shall we attain to this settled happiness of the soul? How shall we learn to enjoy God? How to obtain such an all-sufficient soul-satisfying portion in Him as shall enable us to let go the things of this world as vain and worthless in comparison? I answer, this happiness is to be obtained through the study of the Holy Scriptures. God has therein revealed Himself unto us in the face of Jesus Christ. So Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, that You will bring the face of Jesus Christ to us when we open the Word, Lord. We may receive a new vision of You in the Scriptures, Lord. Holy Spirit, we want to repent of taking little sips and not even asking You to fill us up. Lord, tonight we want to declare that Your Word is enough, that Jesus is enough. We want to thank You for Your Spirit that enables us, Lord. And we want to ask that You come and burn in our hearts a desire to see You in the Scriptures. To see You in the Scriptures, Lord. To let go of the things that we vainly spend our time on. And to come back to the inner place, the hidden room, the quiet place. Because, Lord, You say that if we try to do things so that everybody can see, we don't have a reward from You. That's what You say, Lord. Help us to stop seeking rewards from other people, but to seek Your reward, Your Son, that exceedingly great reward, Lord. If there's anybody tonight that just feel God wants us to repent, He says in His Word that if we repent and we confess our sins, then He is just and He will come and He will heal us. And I really believe God wants to heal us of the sin of profanity. The sin, profanity means we take sacred things, and we treat it as if it's not sacred, as if it's not important. And if you know that's you, you've treated maybe your time with God, your time in His presence, time in worship, time in the Word. If you've just treated that as another thing to tick off or not as important, you can leave your phone on, but God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you now. I believe that we should tonight be on our knees and repent. And God is going to heal us, and He's going to give us a desire for His Word, and He's going to give us a fear of God that will open the way for the presence of God to come to us in a deeper measure. So I want to invite you tonight to just fall on your knees and to give your heart to God and to allow Him to show you Christ and to, you know, to repent. If that is you, that is me. Here, ek wil vanaand kom jammer sê, Here, van die baie aande wat ek gaan lê in my bed en dan gryp ek 'n storieboek of ek sit YouTube video's aan, Here, of ek kyk iets van iemand anders en ek weet dis eintlik tyd met U, Here. Ek weet ek het U nodig. I want to repent of that, Lord. We want to repent of that, Lord. I want to repent, Lord, of waking early in the morning, knowing it's You that woke me. Knowing it's You that are calling me, and then I turn around and I use the excuse that I haven't had enough sleep. Lord, I want to repent of using my friends, my circumstances, my suffering even, Lord. Using my suffering as an excuse to enter into Your courts with joy. Lord, and I want to repent of just my love for entertainment, Lord. Lord, sometimes I'm so tired and I just want to sit down and just watch something on television and I think that is going to give me rest, Lord. But the truth is, only you give us rest. So Lord, tonight we want to bring these idols before you, Lord, and we want to say, bring us back, Jesus. You called us to be a special people, a royal priesthood. Bring us back to the place where we fear you, Lord, and we fear your word, and we fear you more than any of these other things, Lord. Like Paul said, you've counted everything as loss for knowing Christ, Lord. We want to know you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done, that you're doing. I believe God is saying, arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God is saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. My spirit is going to be with you. I'm going to baptize you with fire. I'm going to baptize you and my spirit in you. I really believe that God is very pleased with you tonight. He's pleased with your hearts before Him. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of God. I want to thank you on behalf of our congregation. Because this morning when we were here, I felt God said He wants to visit us with His presence, but we're not ready. But I believe tonight, God is saying that you guys are ready. You guys are ready because your eyes are only on Him. You're ready. God is going to come and He's going to visit us with His presence. We need to just press in. We need to keep seeking Him. He's going to do a new thing in the church. In South Africa, He's going to do a new thing in our church. He's going to take us to new places. That guy with the money testimony, that's what's going to happen. God is going to bless us abundantly, but it will not be for ourselves only. It will be for our community. It will be for the kingdom. And you guys are going to get it. And God is going to bless you abundantly. But it's going to be for His kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word will be in our hearts and our mouths. Thank you, Lord, that where we go, we're going to use it as a sword, Lord God, and we're going to take ground in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that above all else, Lord God, we will be close to you and we will know you and we will be your children first, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we will go through the lion's dens and nothing will touch us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and powerful. Thank you, Lord, that every promise in your word is yes and amen tonight, Lord. And I pray that you will remind each and every one of these children of you, Lord, of the promises that you have spoken over their lives, and that you are resurrecting them again tonight, Lord God. As they come to you in your repentance, Lord, your promises is new and fresh for them, Lord God. Thank you for healing us, Lord God. Thank you for bringing us closer. Thank you for making us one, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you're making us one, Lord God. Goodbye, donkey.